Well, good morning. It is so good to see you. I'm so glad to get to be with you this morning and for us to get to worship together this morning. If you have been able to join us any time in the last couple weeks, you know that we are working our way through a sermon series called Can We Talk? And each week we've thought about what does it look like for us to be a really faithful community in the midst of a cultural context that we're finding ourselves in, places where we are polarized on everything. And so we looked at what does it look like to be curious, to take on a posture of invitation and as we enter into a conversation. Last week we talked about kind of understanding our stories and how our stories make up who we are and how that impacts the story that the conversations we're entering. And so when I was thinking about what are we going to talk about today, it's a little bit random, but there is this article that I was reading about frogs. And what you need to know about frogs is that apparently they have four ears. They have two ears on the inside and two ears on the outside. And there's all kinds of science words in the article that I don't completely understand, but the bottom line is that because they have these four ears, it allows them to hear under the water or through the fog or wherever it is that frogs hang out. They can hear in all the different contexts. My point is then, when no matter what is going on around them, they're able to listen. And so when I was thinking about what does it look like then as we enter into these hard conversations or find ourselves in places where there are often hard contexts, hard conversations, what does it look like then for us to be our own kind of amphibians who are listening? And so our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 15, we're going to read this text, but before we do that, let's go to God in prayer, ask for the Holy Spirit to illumine the scripture. Holy God, we pray that indeed you would be here as we read this scripture, that it's your words that are spoken and your words that are heard. Lord, that you are molding us and shaping us into the people that you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to listen then for this word from Matthew 15, starting at verse 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came out and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Friends, even this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will contend that I think we just read the most difficult text in the whole Bible. It's a really hard scripture, and we're going to have to work really hard together this morning to decide what to do with this. What is it going to look like for us to sit in this text and to wrestle with it? And so one is that we are going to give thanks that the Word of God is so big that there is room for us to sit and to wrestle with it and to question it and to figure out what we're going to do this morning with it. And I'm going to invite us then to lean in and kind of treat this morning as a Bible study and look and pull this apart and figure out what's going on here. Is this really what Jesus said? Is this really what Jesus did? So we're going to work together on this morning. I do want to give you a little background on the woman in our passage this morning. Matthew tells us that she's a Canaanite woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this means that much like last week when we looked at the Samaritan woman, that this is yet another person who is going to find themselves culturally set quite far apart from Jesus, once again, we're meeting someone who is embodying kind of the polarity that we're talking about, who would be a very different culture and context than Jesus. The Gospel of Mark also tells us the story, and what's interesting is that when Mark tells us the story, he simply calls this woman a Gentile. But Matthew ups the ante for us a little bit. He's making a bigger point for us and uses the word Canaanite. By doing that, Matthew identifies her with the Old Testament enemies of the Israelites. You see, what's happening is Matthew is trying to be very clear. He's making a very specific point that this woman is set as far apart from Jesus as possible, that there are dynamics of class, gender, race, status, history, all of that that plays into these two people who are finding themselves in conversation with one another. What's fascinating about this woman meeting Jesus and running into Jesus, what's fascinating is that as far as we can tell, Jesus hasn't done the signs and wonders in this area yet. And yet, not only does the woman recognize him, but she calls him Lord and Son of David. So she knows he's significant. She recognizes him as more than just a traveling healer or teacher. But what's funny about this to me is as we read through the Gospel of Matthew is that the disciples are having, who travel with Jesus, by the way, spend all their time with Jesus, they're having a hard time recognizing who Jesus is. This we read from chapter 15. It wasn't until chapter 14, the chapter just before this, when Peter is finally going to acknowledge Jesus as Son of God after walking on the sea. But it's not going to be until the next chapter, chapter 16, where Peter will begin to declare Jesus as Messiah. So even those in Jesus' circle are having trouble, and yet this woman, who is culturally as far away from Jesus as possible, recognizes and honors who Jesus is. So she goes to see Jesus, and she calls out to him. And actually, what's fascinating is the Greek word here, where it's to call out to Jesus, that Greek word can also mean to scream or to shriek. It's the same word that we're going to see in the book of Revelation that talks about the cries of a woman in labor, the sound that one makes as they are giving birth to new life. So this woman cries out, and yet Jesus chooses not to acknowledge her frantic cries. And the disciples say, Jesus, can you please do something about this woman? Apparently, the disciples are annoyed at the persistence of her presence or the volume of her voice or the unrelenting requests that she's continuing to make. And so finally, in great exasperation, the disciples tell Jesus, make her go away. And then the text tells us that Jesus ignores her. That's hard. I mean, Jesus ignores someone. As good biblical scholars and faithful disciples, what are we going to do with this? This idea that Jesus is ignoring someone, someone who has shown him honor and who has acknowledged who he is, someone who is in need, someone who is desperate for Jesus to help them. Because who could be more desperate than a mother whose child is suffering? She is crying out for Jesus to help, and the scripture tells us that Jesus ignored her. It's really hard to imagine that Jesus could ignore someone. And yet, if we're honest, we kind of get it. We kind of get that Jesus would ignore her. Think about how many times something around us has escalated, a situation has escalated, and we have done everything we can to ignore it. How many times have we felt a difficult conversation coming, and we knew it was going to be a lot easier if we could just ignore it than to figure out how to wade through that kind of conversation? And so here, Jesus and his disciples have found themselves in a place where, from all appearances, this would be a person who would cause them trouble. So it makes sense that they would want to ignore it. We get that. But it's not okay with her that Jesus tries to bow out of this conversation. And so in her passion, she presses on, presses into the exchange, even though Jesus has ignored her. It's hard to know what to do with this passage. And we feel some kind of way about Jesus so far in the story. And we want to figure out, why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus not speak to her? And I'll tell you that in the end, I don't know why Jesus didn't respond to her cries initially. But I do wonder if when we read that and we see the silence of Jesus, I wonder if the silence disturbs us so much, because the fact of the matter is there are so many times that we too have asked God to intervene and we are certain that we didn't get a response. We have begged and pleaded for the Lord, and sometimes all we can feel is radio silence. I don't understand how it works. We are so anxious for God to be at work and to make a difference, especially in these times that feel so hard. And it doesn't feel right then that God would be silent. I don't know. Maybe there's some answer about God's timing or ultimate purpose or the fact that we live in a broken world. I don't know why it's like this. But I do believe that the fact of the matter is there are times when we feel unacknowledged by the one that we cry out to. I wonder, too, if the silence in this passage sticks out to us so much, because there are too many times when we also find ourselves in desperate conversations with people and we need to make sure that they hear us. There are people that it's important that they understand what we're saying, that maybe they have the authority to do something about it, or maybe it's someone we love and we want to make sure that they know, they hear what we're saying, and we are desperate for them to hear our perspective, to understand why we're saying is so important. And yet, they are silent. I think the silence is an important piece of the story for us, because as we think about what it looks like to be in relationship with people that don't agree with us on these hard topics, we often find ourselves frustrated by the silence. Or else, maybe we want a little more of the silence from the other person. But this brave and courageous woman in the scripture, she persists. She didn't hang her head. She didn't walk away. She has something to say. The text tells us that she kneels before Jesus, acknowledging him as Lord, asking for his help. But Jesus makes a comment then, and now we're even more uncomfortable, because he says, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Jesus, can't you say like anything else here? And we're not the only ones that struggle with this morning. We're not the only ones that are trying to figure out, could Jesus maybe have used nicer words? Scholars have been debating over this passage for years and years and years, trying to figure out what to do with it. They look at this passage and they think, well, they said, well, maybe that Jesus was testing the woman. This is why he said it. Some scholars say that maybe Jesus is testing the disciples to see if the disciples are going to say anything. There are some who say it's playful first century banter. He's teasing her. They're just engaging in some jokes, I guess. Some scholars say that there are parts of the story that are edited out and we don't get the full conversation. I don't know in the end why Jesus chooses to say this. I feel like we need some kind of answer, right? Like we need something to hold on to as we wrestle with this idea. And so maybe we do go with the idea that he was kidding, or maybe there are words that were deleted, or maybe he is testing, like we just need something to make it sound like Jesus didn't just use a racial slur to tell a woman he wasn't going to help her. But if we're going to be good Bible scholars, then for just a minute, let's say Jesus did say what he said. That Jesus did indeed say something that was not helpful to this woman. It's possible that he did. It wouldn't be uncommon during that time for people to call a Gentile woman a dog. It was a way of referring to people of lowly social status, these Gentile women. There are some who say that maybe as Jesus said this, it wasn't so much him calling the woman a dog as much as he was naming that which was on everyone else's mind around him. So maybe he's highlighting. But if he did say it, if he said it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, the really beautiful moment then is that the woman didn't duck, didn't run, didn't hurl back her own insult. But she receives Jesus' words and still continues to show honor to who he is. She holds on to her humility, and she reminds Jesus that which Jesus has been teaching all along about God's grace and provision. And she says, this isn't an if-then situation of scarcity. Feeding the children doesn't mean that the dogs have to starve. The situation at hand is not about fixing one problem and then moving on to another, but she takes the language of the culture who refuses to welcome her, and she turns the story around. It isn't about who gets it first. It's about a God who is abundant now, who is generous now, who is overflowing with mercy now. There is enough God for everyone, she highlights. She reminds us that we have a God who is not locked in on any one side of any conversation or of any issue. That no matter where it is we stand, we have a real big God, and we all stand then in the presence of a God who is at work. We have a God who is big enough to be in all the parts of the story. Then, Jesus, in his own act of bold courage, he hears her perspective, and he honors her request. And in that conversation, Jesus models for the disciples, Jesus models for all of us what it looks like to be in a humble and authentic way, to listen to someone who is different. He shows us God's grace and mercy. There's a lot of stories in the Gospels about Jesus healing people. I don't think Matthew and Mark include the story because they wanted to show us Jesus healing someone. I think that the significance of this story is the fact that Jesus met someone different where they were, that Jesus was bold enough to hear her story, and that it made an impact on Jesus. Here, he heard the authentic and valuable story of a perspective that was wildly different from his own perspective, and in that, his own understanding of his very call, his interaction with the world, was expanded and invited the Gentiles. The circle was expanded, inviting the Gentiles in. And so for me, this text becomes a story of the courage and boldness of a woman that had a faith big enough to meet Jesus in a real and authentic exchange of who is the other, as well as a story of the courage and vulnerability of Jesus to listen and be impacted by the perspective of another. It becomes a celebration of the mutuality of two faithful people willing to engage in a dialogue. Brené Brown calls it a vulnerable rumbling where they're willing to get in there and really go through a conversation. And in that conversation, that holy space, what we see is that life was given not just to the Jews and not just to a little girl, but to Gentiles. All of us, the circle has been expanded. And so I pray that this morning, that we would hear the call to be like the Canaanite woman, to be bold and courageous in our faith, to have the discipline to pray without ceasing, to shriek out to God with the deepest cries of our heart, to call out others who name those who are different as outsiders, to press into hard conversations, to not be afraid of them, to not run away from them. And I pray this morning then that we would hear the call of Jesus to be like Jesus in this passage, to have the courage not only to name our biases out loud, but then actively engage in an authentic dialogue where we listen and we're courageous and we're vulnerable enough to be shaped by the conversation. But I also pray that this morning we would recognize and confess the times that we are like the disciples. When we find ourselves as one of the people in the crowd, when we are bystanders. Perhaps we want to be brave enough to enter into these holy spaces where differences are made, but instead we are quiet. And more than we would like to admit, we ask for someone to please make that shrieking person who is different go away. Friends, what I have learned from Jesus and the Canaanite woman is the holiness of our passage this morning is in that conversation, in that interaction. Neither the woman nor Jesus were timid, neither of them willing to hide who they were, but they were bold and courageous in their faith, and because of that, life was given. So I think that the call then from this passage this morning is that we too would enter into that space, to pray without ceasing, to listen to one another without ceasing. For it is in the give and take of knowing one another that life is given. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Dear God, we give you thanks for this day. We pray that you would help us to be bold in our listening, Lord, that we would know the people around us in a whole and new way. So be present, God. Guide us. In your name we pray. Amen.